views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Deborah Rothschild Show, developing a dynamic you. What makes a successful entrepreneur? Host Deborah Rothschild has a wealth of experience and insight delivered with humor and passion. Deborah lives by one adage: she develops human potential. Deborah Rothschild brings the secrets, she brings the experience, she reveals what aspiration, failure, and success have taught her to become. Redirect your perspective and see the new you who knows exactly where to go next and how to get there with The Deborah Rothschild Show, developing a dynamic you now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah Rothschild, and you're listening to The Deborah Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with me with this next hour to learn how resistors to change can be the saboteurs to not only your personal life, but your business life, and how to make the changes necessary to win their hearts, that we have one team going forward together. Just a little ounce of background on myself. I'm a business coach. I'm a business consultant to both the entrepreneur and the executive. I just celebrated my 21st year in practice, and I'm so happy to be able to say that I have accrued over 18,500 paid documented coaching hours. So I bring to the table not only my many successes, my many mistakes, and all that these incredible clients have contributed in my life over the 21 years in creating this dynamic practice. So in developing you, and my goal as a coach is always to develop human potential. Because how could you develop a business or an organization without developing the human being? And one of the major things that we all need to agree on is that the battlefield is between the ears. It's what people think, it's how they choose. And so to get everyone on the same page going in the same way is not always easy, because we have something called resistance. And so in our own lives going forward, we have resisted things, and so do organizations and the people within them. And so resistance is the most common side effect of change. If you don't encounter it, you'll never have to wonder if you've really made the changes necessary. And this is how it works. Change triggers what I call the human body immune system, but it's that immune system around us and that of a regular organization. People start to resist. They try to fight it off. It's sort of like antibodies attacking something, and it invades you and invades your thinking. And everybody becomes even more upset because they want to revert back to the old status quo. And here comes the opposition. So what I have learned, even in my own life, and I come from a background of insurance. I owned a top-notch catering company in my life. And all of a sudden, I found myself in the direct selling industry. And this is where I really learned about people. I learned that not everyone was as excited as I was. And they had half the willingness to make the changes in their life to build dynamic organizations. So what I've been able to put together for you is who's who. There's, to me, I call it the 20-50 rule. And things are very predictable with people. You're going to have 20% of the people that are very change friendly. They have already processed a lot of things in their life. It's not that they're more mature, but they're at that time of their life where they're really ready to make that change. And they're really very change friendly. They're very clear. They're advocates. They're willing to embrace change, and you can depend on them. And then you're going to know that they're going to be there with you to help drive the ideas, your creativity of your organization, your business, or even within a household. And then you have another 50%. You know, these are the fence post people. They're hanging right there around the fence and they're really neutral. They don't know, do I go this way or do I go that way? And then here we go. The 30% are the resistors. And typically they can be antagonistic, you know, towards the change and often deliberately try to make it fail. And, you know, people don't wake up in the morning, you know, just bent on making life miserable for themselves or for you. They typically just don't understand. Well, you know, out of the 20 and the 50 and the 30% rule, you know, guess which group will make the most noise? And who do you think soaks up the most time and energy? And that's going to be that 30%. And I, in my coaching practice, even though I work with Fortune 500 executives, I have a tremendous amount of both men and women that come from direct sales and network marketing, because that's where I amassed all my fortune. And I, you know, not only was I in one company, I did it twice. And so I'm a master in dealing with people to get their head turned around. In fact, my clients have accused me of noodling in their head. Well, someone has to step up to the plate to noodle. And what I have learned is that, you know, so many people want people to like them. They want them to be part of the organization. They want them to participate. So often we want something for someone far more than they ever wanted it for themselves. And my clients have spent all their time, they've exhausted their energy trying to woo and court the 30 percenters. Well, what I've learned through the years is that the 30 percenters are extremely important. But at that time and season, at that moment, they have to take a back seat because they're going to just suck the energy right out of you, because you're constantly trying to convince them this is the way we're going to do it. This is what's proven and this works. Many times they just have to resist, and you're going to have to spend your time developing the potential of those that have already joined you, that are willing to go forward, take the risk to make those changes, and to court those people that are sitting on the fence line. It just makes more sense to spend your time to woo those fence sitters. You have far better odds of winning them over, and you should devote a generous time into not just educating them, encouraging them, loving on them, and bringing different perceptions to the table that they can grab a hold of and that they themselves can run with. So let's all agree that romancing the resistors to a large extent is a distraction. And they could and most probably will change as they see others succeed. But to fight the battle with them one-on-one, it is exhausting. And I would just encourage you to look at your own dynamics of your own family, your own business, your own organization. And I think you'll be able to pick them out. And then you can check yourself. It doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't like them. Doesn't mean you don't respect them. But I want you to spend your time with people that are willing to move forward and go forward at the pace that you know has to be. So people resist things for a lot of reasons, right? One, it's the fear of the unknown. And remember, I said that the battlefield is between the ears. And there has to be an extra trust that is built between the leader of a company, an organization, a business, to persuade, to woo, to court people, you know, into your path. And so what I say is a great way to begin doing that is people have to have a true understanding of why change is important. You know, case in point, one of my clients is a multi-million dollar earner in a network marketing company, and she is a feel-good girl. She's bubbly. She's beautiful. She's incredible at what she does, but she has a fear of just being honest with someone in the organization if they're not doing it and not doing it right, because she has a fear of them not liking her because she is a people-pleasing girl. And I think we all can relate to that. I think there was a time in my life where, you know, I myself was like that, but I found out that if I didn't cut to the chase and if I didn't direct the truth to that person to show them, because to me, they're in a prison. They're locked up, and their business is not going to grow because they've got this, you know, intellectual, mental, emotional lockdown on everything. Nobody can advance. And so it took months. When I say months, it probably took 6-7 months working with her, you know, along with a lot of other things growing her business, to determine, for her to determine, why is she like this? Why is she resisting this change? And once she understood and I was able to coach her through and support her through, she was able to deliver some truth to some people in a loving, kind way, gave them a different perspective to look at, showed them the outcome from other people, as I'm sure that they were already aware of, because, you know, everything, you know, in direct sales, along with car sales, everything's up on a board, who's producing, who's not, who's growing, you know, who's rocking and rolling and shaking it. And so it took a little bit of time for her. And as she made that change, and she was a resistor, that was the only thing the girl resisted me on, because she had that fear in her life of someone not loving her, appreciating her, because she wanted to be that girl, you know, the ivory girl, the girl next door that everyone loved and trusted. And as she had that breakthrough, it was the most amazing thing for me to watch, because not only did it break through there with some people in her organization, but it broke through in the lives of her family members, because she realized that what she was operating in, her thinking, and of course, our behavior follows her thinking, right? So she made a few little tweaks, started implementing some things, and the family dynamic changed for the better. Everything got better all of a sudden. And I remember a day that she called me. The phone rang. I wasn't on another call, and I took her call because I was available. And she was in tears. I thought, oh no, now what? And she said, I just want to thank you. She said, had I not told so-and-so the truth, they were going to quit. And she said, and what you said to me, Deborah, was more important to me that day than anything, is that without the truth, people cannot attain their full potential. And, you know, I chuckled and I laughed and I said, well, I think we're talking about you. You can only deliver to others who you are, because, you know, that's just the way it is, because it's a people to people thing. So let me just do a real quick recap. The resistors are people that you love, care, and admire, and you respect them, but we're going to allow them to resist. And your time are going to be spent with the people that have chosen to go with you, to flow with you, and then those on the fence. And remember what I said, all they need is some extra trust, some encouragement, and a different perception on how to make those changes. And we all make those resisting little things that pop in our life. You know, so often we're told to do something and immediately, you know, I thought, well, I'm not doing that. That's not going to work. And so often, you know, Deborah has been just totally, totally wrong. So what we're going to have to do right now, time flies when you're having fun. You're listening to The Deborah Show, and we're going to take a short break. And when I come back, I'll continue giving you that information that's necessary in developing your dynamic potential.
Find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Everyone, you're listening to The Deborah Show with Deborah Rothschild, and on this great day, talking about resistors and why people resist change and why it's mandatory for us to change in order to have all of our potential fully come to fruition in each of our lives. They say that changes are only really a real constant, right? So generally, most people don't take too kindly to it. You know, we all put like cats putting their hair up on their back and arching their back. What happens, I think, is that too often in business, change comes about, it's thrown on people, it's thrust out, and, you know, here they are, they have to eat a big white elephant and they don't know what to do. People in leadership that understand every integral part, they have the ability, because they've been told everything and they are educated into this particular phenomenon that's taken place, so they can easily go full steam ahead at any cost. You know, I'm a driver. I've made so many. The only reason I've been successful in my life is because I've made probably more mistakes than anybody else out there. You know, and as I said earlier, as I opened the call, I am a coach to Fortune 500 executives and entrepreneurs with, you know, over 18,500 paid coaching hours. I've heard every story why something will not work, including my own. But I have been forced in my life to adapt very quickly to change. You know, I authored a book called The Firefly Protocol, and I've had to reinvent myself like so many women through the years. And I have had to be willing to be wrong. I had to learn not to wear my ego on my sleeve, but nail it to the bottom of my shoe and walk on it and be willing to be wrong and to be willing to change. So I thought, you know, I'm going to give you some tips, how to identify them and what we're going to do with them. So you have to remember that people fear being different from anybody else when there's no precedent. We're really creatures of habit. You know, I was reminded not too long ago about a lady that I once went to church with. And, you know, for all the years I knew her, she sat in the fourth pew at the very end on the aisle seat. It was like she owned that piece of property. She was not willing to change where she sat. And if somebody was sitting in that seat, she could tell you very casually, without blinking an eye, "That's mine. Would you please move over?" Well, you know, we're just creatures of habit. And every family, every organization, every business needs a visionary. Someone has to see the bigger picture. Someone has to see how we can become bigger, better, greater, and have that vision that they can bring people aboard and help drive them to where everyone is successful. And I think that's the heart of a true leader. They want everyone successful, and we want everyone winning. But we want to minimize the frustration and hurt feelings by someone who doesn't understand by communicating and demonstrating, you know, wherever possible. You know, I am a communications expert. They call me the queen of follow-up. You may get a text message from me if you're my client. It will read, "Please call. Call me." Because I'm not going to put all this stuff, because too much is lost in a text message, you know, or a message on Messenger or even an email, when I can just pick up the phone. Because my only goal with to whomever I'm talking to is that they fully understand. And I know that they understand when I hang up the phone. So in structuring organizations and everything that I relate to on a business level, I'm telling you, you can bring home and you can apply at home. We want to minimize your frustration, you know, in developing whatever you're developing. And so communication is going to be your key, I promise you. And, you know, we live in a world that is so fast paced, everyone's stressed, they're chasing their tails. And we know that going into this. And so I think people are fatigued. You know, they're on brain overload. Some are a borderline burnout. And fatigue to me is the biggest killjoy. And if your organization has been through a huge upheaval, people right there can resist change simply because they're just tired. And we have to identify that in people. And when people are tired, they tend to be what? Cranky, angry, and irritable. And typically not teachable and not willing. So it has been my experience when the environment is kind of on that edge, everybody's a little right on the edge, a little hot-wired, they're inundated. We're going to have to identify it. And you as a leader, you're going to have to settle that crowd down. And you're going to do that by doing what? You're going to talk to people. You're going to find out where they are. How could you ever direct traffic or get someone to join you and to have them buy into the big pie of the vision if you don't know where their head is? Because remember, it's that battlefield is right between the ears. People are going to have complaints, and you're going to have to be willing to listen to them. You're going to have to be able to give back, you know, great feedback, and you're going to have to be able to ask the questions to be able to get to the root of the cause, get that nipped in the butt so you can all go forward. And people just generally fear the departure from any status quo. You know, and by definition, implementing change is a departure from the way we've always done it. You know, and by the way, I spent 12 years in radio, and the way I always did it was going to a studio. I had a syndicated talk show many years ago that ran for 12 years. And so I had to bite the bullet because we're not, everyone is doing things remotely. And so this has just been a great challenge, and I've had to change my thinking, and I've had to learn some new things. Oh, and P.S., by the way, yes, I'm doing it, but getting me here, there were some few challenges. I had to have just what I taught you, what they did with me. They brought a different perspective to the table. They taught me a few things. I became comfortable, and I knew that getting on the air and talking was never going to be a problem. It was all these other little things that I felt that I was responsible for, and guess what? I was not. I had to learn a few things, as you can as well. So, you know, as we are, this is Transformation Talk Radio. So transformation starts, you know, with me and you. And in an organization, it typically starts at the top and it trickles all the way down. It can either make people feel comfortable or it can make them feel miserable. And, you know, change sometimes causes people to feel like they've been betrayed. You've got someone been doing something the same way. In their mind, it's successful, but yet here comes a new concept. They're all rattled and they're all shaken and they just don't understand. And they thought what they were doing is right. And so all of a sudden they feel like, well, you know, it's something I've done wrong. So that goes back to you as a great communicator, communicating that, I guess it first starts with you. You're going to have to embrace the fact that you're going to have to communicate. And you're going to have to acknowledge that those parts of the past, it was good while it was all back then, but today has presented a new way, probably a better way, to get everyone on the same page, you know, going forward. You know, one thing that I've learned that my whole client base has been built on referrals. I've never done any form of advertising. Yes, you can look me up at DeborahRothschild.com, but I've never done anything. And so people come to me, they already heard things about me. They heard that I'm on time, I am straightforward, and I only have their best interests at heart. And so there's already the beginning of some form of a trust bond that has been formed. And so I believe that in developing you, developing your organization, there has to be the removal of any form of lack of trust before anybody can make any great changes. So when people respect each other, it's often because that individual, that leader, has built that trust over a period of time. And then when you've got a new person that steps into the place of perhaps an old leader, it's important that that new person embraces the responsibility of building trust with the people that they lead. If you don't have trust, we're probably going to have a lack of respect. We don't have any respect, there's going to be zero trust. And then what do we have? We've got more resistors added to the pile that are going to fight you tooth and nail in everything that you have to do. And you build trust by being honest. And, you know, to me, business is a business of inclusion. I think people need to be included. Now, you know, there are decisions made within a company that you're not going to offer the cleaning lady her opinion. Not that she's any less, but she's not part of that. So there are things that top leadership have to make on their own, but people need to be included in the change process. They need to be included so that what the most important to me is that people feel important. People know that they have great value. And to me, quite frankly, everyone is just totally irreplaceable. And therefore, and only then can a environment be created in which people can believe that the change can be implemented and be managed for the benefit of all, right? See, to me, when I built all my companies, whether it was my catering company, whether it was direct sales or I was in the insurance industry, I wanted everyone to know that everyone needed to be included, that they were an important, integral part, no matter how minor their part was, that they were as important to me as the next guy. We're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to The Deborah Show. I'm Deborah Rothschild, and I'll come back to you, continuing giving you that information that's necessary in developing your dynamic potential.
Right now, ask yourself, how far are you from your dream? Are you closer today than yesterday? Entrepreneur and personal coach Deborah Rothschild brings the wit and wisdom to transform you into a new dynamic you. Tune in to the Deborah Rothschild Show, Developing a Dynamic You. To learn more about Deborah, visit thedeborahshow.com. That's the D-E-B-R-A show.com.
Tune in live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. Darcy Pariso is your connection to spirit, energy, and healing. You can meet Darcy in person at upcoming events throughout Seattle. Do you have questions about your animal companions, yourself, or do you desire to communicate with loved ones on the other side? Darcy will connect you and get answers. Darcy can also work with energy healing to help you and your animal companions feel more balanced and recharged. Visit darcypariso.com/events.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah Rothschild with The Deborah Show, and you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. We're back on the air. We're talking today about changes necessary for everyone to reach their human potential and how to deal with effectively people who are resistant to change. We live in such a dynamic world. We move at such a fast pace. And people sometimes just need a little extra to get them off that fence line, like I talked about earlier, to get them into the winner's circle going forward with you. And I think, to me, I'm just sitting here pondering, you know, I think one of the most baffling and recalcitrant problems with, I think it faces people that own businesses, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're an executive, mid-management, or maybe that you are just a group of 25 people working in a small office. You know, resistance takes on a number of different forms. I mean, I've been resistant in my life until I was told I was wrong. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody will receive it. But everybody needs an opportunity to grow dynamically together. And I think that if top leadership would take a moment to identify who they're dealing with, you know, who's in their organization, and look at productivity and to watch people carefully, I think you can get a better handle on identifying current problems and potential problems. Listen, I don't like change probably as much as anybody else. You know, I'm in the process of selling my home, and I've got this going on, that guy, you know, going on. And I've found myself, you know, that I've battled myself And that's a battle, right? Because I'm a strong natured gal, and I try to, you know, at times overthink things and rationalize things. And I have, and I'm single and I live on my own. And if there's a decision to be made in this, in my business and in my personal life, I better be real close to hitting the target right, because, you know, I can't blame my spouse. I cannot blame anybody other than me if the decision is wrong. Let's look at some solutions on how to deal with some resistors or deal with people within your organization. You know, one solution which has become increasingly popular for dealing with resistance to change, and as I talked about earlier, is getting people to participate. You know, other than just being the boss, pointing the finger, this is what you do, this is how you do it. And I think that device fails. Now, it will work on some people. But, you know, I believe today in our society of big business, and even within the industry that I have come from, you know, the insurance industry and direct sales, that's a wild combination, right? I think to get ahead of the problem solves the problem. And if people as leadership, if you're so busy building and you're crunching numbers and you're driving your organization, if you're not taking time, you know, identifying small problems, all of a sudden those small problems turn into monstrosities. And, you know, the key to understanding everything is to find out the nature of the origin. And today we're talking about people that resist change. And typically what people just typically, you know, resist is not just a technical change, but that social change. And remember, many times when people are at the other end of your index finger saying, you know, this has got to change, that's got to change, you know, they don't feel like they're good enough. They feel like they're betrayed. And we've got that morale issue going on again. And I think now, you know, join me on this for a moment. You know, I drive a Denali. I'm a big truck girl, and not that I don't like a luxury vehicle. Just that I'm the mom to three Dobermans, and it's much easier for me to get three dogs in a truck, an SUV, than it is to load them in a car. So my Denali has blind spots. You know, I've got my mirror ahead of me, and I've got a left and a right mirror. But believe it or not, even between me watching the road, you know, viewing straight ahead on and watching what's behind me, the smaller vehicle I will lose. And so the only reason I know that is because I had my blinker on and I was ready to change lanes. This happened a long time ago. And I'm going to tell you what, thank God, that driver was watching, because he was able to get out of my way because I was coming over. And that was a scary wake-up call to me. So what I have learned that in our lives, we have certain blind spots. And with that blind spot typically comes an attitude. And so these changes that are oscillating around that you want people to make, we have to make sure where their blind spots are that they clearly see, and we have to, and I know I love this word, right? The attitude of someone, because remember, the altitude and attitude are right there together. If you got a bad attitude, well, we've got they're like a triple head on collision resistor. So we want everyone's attitude to be in that place that they're part of the team. They're willing. They can do this. You believe in them. And so that's going to do what? That's going to provoke something that we haven't talked about, which will be later on. I'll do a couple, three segments on, is building self-esteem. So, you know, you want to be able to pick up on the warning signals and how to direct everyone so no one falls through the cracks. And I'm just for a moment, I know many of you are probably in network marketing, or you're in some form of sales or direct sales itself. It's so easy for someone to fall through the cracks. My first company, even though I went all the way to the top, and I went all the way to the top kicking and screaming. And that's probably a whole lot more truer than it sounds. And it's, you might even giggle on that, or you could probably even relate to it. That was the first great company. It was a first run. Second company. And I had started my coaching practice between company number one and company number two. And when I wrapped up company number one and sold it, I said, I'd never do it again, right? Right. Well, anyway, I found myself in company number two. And I remembered very quickly, early on, the tremendous amount of mistakes I made. I spent more time in the ditch crying to get out of the ditch. And I had to learn the hard way. Some people just have to learn the hard way. And I think in doing so, I learned to learn quickly. I may make a mistake, but I'm not making the same one that I made before. I'll just go through the process and I'll learn something new, make a mistake, you fix it, amend it, and move on. So in going on into my second company, I came out of the gate and I was able to identify things in people's lives. And I remember that my first company, I lost thousands and thousands of dollars because one, I failed to communicate, I failed to engage people, and I failed to follow up. Lesson learned. So my second company, wow, I took the mistakes that I made, the lessons that I learned, and I not only went through the gate with it, demonstrating it every day, I taught my leaders. So I didn't want anybody to fall through the cracks. In fact, I had a 98 percentile retention rate on product consumers because I would every day would drop in on 15 and 20 different people a day, in addition to what I was doing, just to touch base, just to let them know, excuse me, that I cared. And so communication is going to be your key. And I'm not sure that, you know, participation is just really enough, you know, getting people engaged. And if you're not more hands-on with them, I mean, how can we get everyone to sing the same song on the same note going forward together? So groups that participate, I believe that are groups that are participating in change. And in doing so, getting people on the same page going forward, you're going to have the resistors, you're going to have the naysayers, you're going to have everyone that, you know, that doesn't understand. You're going to have to learn to silence those people, you know, in a loving, kind way, because we all have to be on the same page going forward, or nothing. Nobody wins. And to me, if one person loses, then nobody wins. And we just have to come, I think, to grips with reality. Our world is demanding a higher level of adaptability. New moves, you know, the old, what can we call it? The old reaction patterns will bring us nothing but problems. So people have to be open to the new. I've had to reinvent myself many times. I thought one thing was going to happen one way, and then I found myself. You know, here I was. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. I come from a family in medicine. That's the last thing I wanted. Found myself going to nursing school, only that I could become a nurse anesthetist. They changed the ground rules, and I didn't want to have to jump through the hoops. So they thought that business was a better fit for me. And thank God. And so, you know, I went into business, no regrets at all. So I had to be open. It was a whole new ball game. Even though my father was an entrepreneur and I was raised with an entrepreneurial spirit, I had that spirit in me. I was so grateful that someone came to me and said, hey, you said that you don't think this is for you. Tell me why. And they allowed me to talk, and they said, can we give you a different perspective? We're going to take a short break. You've been listening to The Deborah Show. I'll be right back talking about how your dynamic potential will take you all the way to the top. ¶¶
celebrating 40 years of peace through music. Dr. Pat Basile is thrilled to be partnering with Dudley and Dean Evanson, co-founders of Soundings of the Planet. Music and video created for peace and healing. Immerse yourself in benefits of music for meditation, relaxation, and stress reduction. This peaceful and meditative form of music is available for free on all streaming services. Search Dean Evanson on Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, and iTunes, or visit soundings.com for more information.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
You're listening to The Debra Show. I'm Debra Rothschild. I'm back from a quick break. And we've been talking today about resisting change, making change, getting people to change with us, and growing human potential. Here, I've got a couple things I'm going to bring to the table. What if you don't make that decision to change? Then what? Well, guess what? No one has to change, right? Well, we're human beings and we have a free will and we can choose. So let's talk about not changing. So not always does someone have to change because the organization does. People do this all day long. I guarantee you, someone's going to walk out of their office today. They resisted. They didn't change. And there they are. Just look around. Maybe we could all look, take a glance in the mirror. Well, none of us are going to have to look too far to find, you know, what we're talking about. So this is typically, to me, in my opinion, how it goes. The organization announces, or some maybe even in your home, that it will do something new and different. Some people don't like the looks of it. For whatever the reason, they decide they don't want any part of it. So they resist. Remember who they are, right? Those are the ones I don't want you to spend a whole lot of time courting, but this is typically how things fall together. They resist, maybe consciously or maybe without even really stopping to think about it. Maybe they make a lot of noise, and or maybe there is something verbally said out in the open. Or just maybe they take the sneaky approach and they fight the changes quietly behind the scenes. You know, I don't care what kind of strategy they choose, though they set themselves up for a tough, very tough emotional struggle. And I think that as you've been listening to me today, and for those of you that will listen, you know, and replay this, you're going to be able to all of a sudden listen, and you're going to think of so-and-so and that so-and-so and that so-and-so. But you know what? It all shakes out. So this is what happens. So in resisting change is one of the most common causes of stress on the job. Stress for the leader, stress for all the colleagues, and stress on the team. And it's stress that people, you know, to me, it's self-induced. Naturally, the average person doesn't want to see it that way. Hey, most people like to think that changes give birth to all the stress rather than blaming their own, perhaps their own errors, their own thinking, on how personally they need to react. It happens all the time. I've seen it in my coaching practice, but I think from a coaching perspective, I've been through enough. I always tell my clients, it's okay. This is not my first rodeo. I will get you and I will get your team and your company through this. So our world is changing rapidly. We move at the speed of, I don't know, I can't even keep up with everything. And the truth of the matter is, people waste far more emotional energy desperately hanging on to old habits, old thinking, you know, what they say, stinking thinking. And it sucks the life out of them, rather than being willing to embrace the change, which is the betterment for all. You know, people waste so much time anyway, because they think, they overthink. And I've been guilty of that myself. I have paced the floor at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rock, because I got something on my mind and I am going to analyze it until I have the answer. Well, more times than not, I did not come to a healthy conclusion. One, I'm fatigued, I'm tired, the alarm clock's going to hit in the morning. You know, and I start my coaching practice on some days at 6 a.m. Central Time, and I have to be on. So I've learned that sometimes you just have to toss things aside and kind of let them shake out on their own. So we don't want you, I don't want your group wasting all their emotional energy, desperately hanging on. And so maybe we can just assume that to remain effective in a changing world, a changing organization, that maybe ourselves, we have to do some changing. So we can adjust, set our dials, and expect to succeed if we just keep going forward, making better decisions, incorporating new things with new people, bringing perspective to the table for those that need to change with us, but remembering at the same time that everyone has a choice and everyone has options. Everyone can choose not to. But one thing I want to bring to the table is that we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that not any of us fall prey to being a victim. Because victims do what? Wow, it's the blame game, right? Well, stress just ratchets up, ramps up that victim mentality. And sometimes people are victimized. I'm not saying that, hey, you could be listening to this show today and you were victimized. And I'm not saying that you weren't, because there are employees, there are people in direct sales, there's people part of non-for-profits, there's people in church organizations that are victimized. There's always an exception to every rule. But the idea here to consider yourself a victim of circumstances emphasizes the unfairness of it all. You know, and sometimes people play the old poor me. Well, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we just have to put our big girl and boy panties on and we just need to pull our bootstraps up. We need to walk forward. And I think if you feel victimized, or if you have someone in your group that feels victimized, that may be their motive operandi and everything. That might be their playing card. But what, let's just say, for instance, that it's not. They're functional, great, incredible human beings, but they feel victimized, then they're going to need special extra attention at the cost of the leader. They need that tender, loving touch. They need more information. They need to be fortified, and they need to be encouraged. And encouragement, oh my gosh, a word of encouragement to someone right when they need it just breathes a life into every cell. It makes the bad beautiful very quickly. And you know, there's always going to be people in your organization that are going to, I call her the maneuvers. You know, the maneuvers are sometimes become the masterful saboteurs. People are always maneuvering behind the scenes. And that's where, again, you as a leader, you on the top of your business, you're going to have to be aware of who is really who and how you're going to do that. You're going to form a better, deeper relationship with them. So you find out what makes them tick and what's really going on. And you're going to have to keep your ear to the ground, because people maneuver. And the irony is that, you know, in defense of everyone, at all businesses at all times, there's always someone doing something. I believe that many times in our youth, you know, we maneuvered ourselves around. You know, we were young. You know, the expression young and dumb. Well, we have to give people the benefit of the doubt, and we have to move and groove with them. And you, as a leader, have to understand who they are, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. I cannot stress that enough, or one, you're going to be stressed. And there's nothing any crazier than, you know, a pastor doesn't know his church body. The president of a company doesn't know their employees. Or a salesperson doesn't know their customers. I mean, how much is lost when no one knows each other? Too much every day. And that's why people quit jobs. They put in their resignation, good, talented, key people, because they're not understood. You don't know them, and they don't even know what part they play in this. And I can put that on the other foot. That's why people are pink slipped, because someone didn't really know somebody. And putting it in the sales industry is where someone didn't make the type of money, they didn't achieve their productivity, and they either were failed by someone in a higher position, or they failed themselves because they were resistors. Perhaps they just resisted. They resisted just being taught the right way on how to do something. So I'm going to do a little recap. I've had fun here today. I know that you've learned something, because and I've taught this a million times over, but in preparation of this show, you're listening to The Deborah Show. I'm Deborah Rothschild, executive entrepreneur coach. Love every minute of it. I've had a reevaluate some things in my own life. And I got me thinking. And so this has been good medicine for Deborah. So in closing today, for those of you that just tuned in, I'm a business coach, both to the executive and the entrepreneur. And we're talking about being resistant to change, the harmful effects, and how great it can be if everyone changes and gets on the same page. So in closing, let's kind of wrap things up where we really started, with the focus on your reaction to change. As a leader, as a business owner, as an executive, as someone in sales, as someone who is running a household, or whatever your delight is, what are you willing to change to get to where you need to be? You know, we have to remember, day in and day out, we're the pacemakers. What sort of example are you setting? Are you personally a role model for adaptability? Do you lead others by example into change? Or do you somehow lead them into resistance? I think we need to remember how many people, because we're all influencers, each and every one of us. I haven't met any person yet on earth that could not influence. Consider how many people take their cue from you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is ask yourself, what kind of influence are you toting around? What are you carrying around? What do people see? What do people hear? Remember to move yourself first, that you don't become a human barricade in the growth and dynamics of someone else. You know, lead by example. We've all been taught that. We've heard it. And so often, you know, we have to look in the mirror, and that's really where it starts, to do a fair, honest assessment. So the question I have to you is, what does it take in your life today to win in today's world of hyper change. What are you willing to change? And are you willing to become that influencer to help other people make that change? You know, we have to remember it takes not only speed, adaptability, we got to become innovative and hair trigger responsiveness to this changing marketplace and developing businesses, developing human potential. And people just blatantly need to be aligned, moving in the same direction. And all, you know, I believe in energy, great energy, moving focused, moving forward instead of protecting the past or, defending, with weapons of the emotions and the mind, defending the old status quo, which, by the way, didn't get anywhere, get anyone anywhere fast. You've been listening to The Deborah Show. I'm Deborah Rothschild. This is Transformation Talk Radio. We're transforming lives together. Today we've talked about making change in your life to win yourself and to develop the human potential that's necessary. This show is aired every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. I have enjoyed today, and I want to thank you all for visiting with me. I'm Deborah Rothschild, and God bless you.
Developing a dynamic you. Continue to grow with us next time as Deborah guides listeners through the roadmap of personal and professional victory. Each day you reach for your dream, it reaches for you too. Be sure to catch the next episode for valuable insights from a coach who dreams big, just like you. Are you getting started on your dreams? What are you waiting for? The competition doesn't wait for you to catch up. To learn more about Deborah, visit thedeborahshow.com. That's the D-E-B-R-A show.com.